When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, what's up, Juan? Shout out to you, man. Dewan, shout out to you, brother. Brother Michael says they should have just drafted another left tackle. For what? You talking about in the second round, Michael? You talking about to so you take one, you take a tackle this year, and then right the second round pick, take another tackle? Is that what you're saying? I don't know. James says, Q, I'm thinking they're going to use Lattimore as a trade piece for a decent or good offensive lineman in the draft pick. This is all dependent upon Lattimore's availability, level of play, and Carr's performance. Well, so you, Brother James, shares the mentality that I share. At first, I was like, man, they're not going to trade him because that'll be stupid. Well, the Saints have shown us that can be quite stupid at times. I mean, not just stupid. I mean, incredibly off code and just unlogically stupid. Like, there is no, you shouldn't trade a top five cornerback when he's healthy unless there is him, he's causing problems in the locker room. He doesn't want to be there. Something bad going on, you see. But that's not the case why the Saints have Lattimore on the trade block. He's on the trade block because the man on the screen here, he lost faith in the man on the screen. It wasn't, you know, and remember, this is how they lie. Remember, this is how they lie. Mickey Loomis and Dennis Allen said there was no fracture in the locker room. Put one in the chat if y'all remember that. See, and the thing, it's not hard to figure. You just got to have a memory. That's all, because they say so much stuff, they don't expect you to remember all the crap that they spew. But that's what they said. Dennis Allen and both Mickey Loomis, because they were questioned about it because the reporters knew. The reporters were the ones exposing the crack. Shout out to Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett. Shout out to Kat Terrell. Shout out to, it was like three or four of those guys I always give a shout out to, because shout out to Nick, shout out to Mike Triplett, shout out to Kat Terrell, because they were the ones that were talking about it and showing it. Matter of fact, Mike Triplett and Nick Underhill actually did the interview with Jameis. That was the year before last, about what happened with Dennis Allen. They were the ones that exposed the fracture that happened the year before last. They were the ones that covered it, and about Jameis coming out and having an interview and saying that he lied to me. He told me he was going to play me, stuff like that. That was, those guys did that. They exposed that. They exposed it. And then all of a sudden, there were players that were unsatisfied with the direction the Saints wasn't going, because, you know, I don't want to talk about that. If you're not going the right way, you know, we won't figure out what's the correct way. They didn't even do that. They just decided to pretend this whole little thing, and the team's guys not practicing correctly. Dennis Allen not disciplining these people correctly. There's no accountability. Him going checking nobody. There's no pressure from the general manager on him to perform better, to make changes at the offensive level, to spark the offense, to jolt the offense. Like, if the offense struggling, we've seen it. Let me go over here. P. Carmichael, you're not doing too well. Listen, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm going to give Ronald Curry an opportunity to call plays the next couple of Sundays, okay? See if we can kind of turn this thing around. P. Carmichael to say, okay, I understand, because you're not doing it. So we got to change it up. We got to win. So he would say, okay, that's fine. That will show us that, hey, man, coach is on top of it. we could appreciate that because Coach Curry could be speaking a different way, have more accountability, have more of a connection to the players than a Pete Carmichael can. Maybe he has that those couple of additives that you need to spark spark something in the Saints offense as opposed to just kept it the same the whole year. Go to Doug Marrone, who's at the offensive line coach at the time. Offensive line looks terrible. The guy's not blocking right. They ain't playing with no passion. All right, Coach Marrone, listen. I'm going to give you a warning at first because I don't like how the offensive line is playing. I'm going to have to put a little pressure on you to get these guys together. Now, if you have to shake some stuff up here, you got my full support in doing that. And this is just a warning. But if it doesn't improve, I'm going to probably have to go to Jahri Evans and kind of hand it over to him for a few Sundays and see what he can do with the offensive line. Okay. And Marrone would have said, you know what? I appreciate that, coach. You give me an opportunity to kind of get it together. And listen, we touch it, such. But, you know, we just having such that. What else do you need? Do you need some resources? Do we need to go in and see if we can find somebody to bring up in here? Another offensive player, perhaps, or something. Whatever you need, I'm the head coach. I have the resources and the full support of this entire organization. Whatever I need to do to help you improve, you let me know. But I'm giving you a chance. I mean, it's as simple as that. That never happened. Those conversations never happened. You know what conversations did happen? The conversations that there is no fractures.
Hold on. It's no. Oh, my God. You said a bad word. Oh, step on the crack, break your mama's back. Oh, and that's month of day's weekend. Oh, shame on you. There is no fractures. There's no cracks. The team is fine. Everybody is fine. Everybody's good. What are you talking about? All of it, just foolishness. They denied it. And then all of a sudden, here come Lattimore.
The bigger of the mythical fractured, non-fractured players who don't like the direction of the team. And that's the reason why they trading Lattimore. That's the reason. It's not because of his health, his contract, because they adjusted the contract during the playable year last year to make it good to trade him now in the window. As I showed you guys in the previous stream, it starts from, June the 1st to the start of the regular season. That is the window in which they have to move him. If they wait beyond that movement, that window movement, after how they restructured his contract, it'll make it difficult for him in 2025, contractually speaking. So we got a window, and it's only a matter of time before he's traded. So when I started researching that, and the fact that they added Kool-Aid McKinstry in the second round, and the contract and the money that we get back once they do trade Lattimore, which is $4 million this year and like $11 million next year, altogether like $15 million that the Saints get back on their cap between this year and next year. Oh, yeah. Ain't no doubt about it. No doubt. But remember why they're trading him. Remember, it's Dennis Allen. How the team is performing is why Lattimore lost faith in the coach. That's what's going on. So anyway, it's just what it is, man. It's crazy. Thank you, brother James, for that, man. Much love. All right. Let me see if anybody got questions. WB says, bro, they called security. I'm going to rain James State for rooting too loud. They told security to kick. You told security to kick rock. Yeah, I can only imagine you, Willie, down at Tampa Bay Stadium causing hell, man. You know, and that's all good. Keep it going. Oh, the phone doesn't understand your accent. Okay, all right. Good Lord, man. That's it. Yeah, I'm a diehard. I got the right to talk about both until I learn how to win. I'm not. Yeah, I hear you, bro. No, I ain't actually sugarcoating that. I was just asking for see if you can say something nice about it. I know you can say something to the opposite. All right, what's up, Archangel? Is that Archangel 80? Yes, rise up for the good old Falcons people. Q, shout out to you, my brother from the Falcon Nation. No, sir. Listen, man, I'm not going to be difficult on the Falcon people, man. Shout out to the Falcon fam, man, for tuning in. I just think, man, when we talk about next year, man, first and foremost, cause they kid me on Twitter, on Falcon Twitter, man, you know, they kid me about the shirt and they got the pictures and that's fine, man. I lost the bet, you know, Lowe lost his bet, you know, and that wouldn't have been fair for me to, like, you know, just let Lowe hold his L all the time, you know, let him hold that L. You know what I'm saying? Let my dog hold that L, you know, for betting and he lost. So I'm a fair guy, you know. So when we lost, you know, it's all good, man. You know, it's all good. It's all great. But I held the bet. It wasn't easy, but that's what you're supposed to do as a good person, man. You're supposed to honor your bets, man. And that's what happened. But yeah, man, I'm not, and listen, I'm going to have to hold that L a little longer, because until I find out what this team is made of, man, and in terms of, I need to see more from them, offensively speaking, because it's a lot going on here. It's a lot. All right, look at all these damn ones in the chat and all the family members. What's up, Terry? All right, Black Major, how you doing, Brother Kai? Yeah, all of that, OG, all of them saying 1-1, all of them. They said there was no fracture. And all of a sudden, here we go with Lattimore on the trade block. I thought there was no fracture. Yeah, they just full of it, man. They so easy to be just taken apart because they just lie all the time, man. I'm just so sick of all of the foolishness, man. You know, I'm just tired of them with all of this. Just lie all the time. Just, oh, that doesn't exist. Oh, that ain't no fracture. If you don't know there's a fracture, you know it's a fracture because you're trading a guy. And you got to have asked them, hey, man, why you want me to trade you? You didn't have that question with him? And he would have told you, hey, man, in this cool, smooth way, I just lost faith in you guys. And y'all ain't doing what y'all supposed to do. Y'all ain't doing what y'all supposed to do. I'm a top 5 cornerback in the NFL. Y'all ain't supposed to be doing me like that. We supposed to be winning the NFC South, doing our thing. Y'all ain't handling like y'all supposed to be handling. That's Ladder Daddy, by the way. That's what he told him. Mickey Loomis sitting there looking at him. Wow. I had no idea. Oh, yeah, he clueless as hell. Clueless as hell. All right. Yeah, shout out to you. Okay, Red T says AK exposed it too. He was saying a bunch of stuff during. Yeah, he did. He talked. One of the things he was saying that Elvin was saying about Red T was that it was false starting practice. It was false starting practice and wouldn't get in trouble. Nobody would do anything. Now, what competent organization that you have Doug Marrone as an offensive line coach and guys are false starting, which is pre-snap penalties, which the Pelicans, they had the issues, but the Saints, it's the same damn team, right? Ran by the same owner. But the Saints had all these pre-snap penalties. And if I'm not mistaken, they had a high amount of these pre-snap penalties that would stop them a lot. Remember, there was a game last year where Andrus Peat had like, what, 2 or 3 false start penalties in a row. Now, come on. Remember that? Y'all remember that? Put one in the chat if y'all remember that, when Andrus Peat had like, what was it? Like 2 or 3 false start penalties, or either it was 2 in a row and then they had a run or a play and then he got another one. It was something like that. Like, how do you have 3 false start penalties within the same drive? How do you do that unless you're an undisciplined team? You know, it's not, we have, that has to be changed. You can't shoot yourself in the foot. A big part of it, that's a part of the accountability thing that I talked about. And if you got guys at the top, you can't get around the accountability angle, because if you got other people there from different walks of life, they have to have something, some type of code that binds all of these people together that they all have to apply, that they have to latch on to, that the code has to apply to. It can't be a code that only applies to certain people. It has to be something that that applies to the entire team, from the stars on down to the third string bench players. Everybody has to follow the code of the team. That's all you have. And that's what you have to have. And accountability is one of those things. You have to be accountable. Accountability ties into you doing your job. Accountability ties into you being responsible for your actions and your inactions, meaning things you do and things you don't do. You are accountable. You're getting paid a healthy salary to play good football, constructive football, not bullshit, back-ass, false start, disrespectful, dishonorable, football. Nobody pays nobody to be a dishonorable football player. You know, that's just not a real thing. If you're going to be given money, you're supposed to step up and do what you're supposed to do. And that's something that's supposed to happen from the coach, from the owner on down. But Gail doesn't know a lot about football, not enough as she's supposed to be, or basketball, to own all these teams, you got to know something about this a good deal. Or you have somebody that you hired, not somebody that somebody hired for you, but somebody you hired because you have to put your stamp on a team. All I see is a lot of check cash coming out of there and moves and people that's running the team that's taking advantage of the fact that she doesn't know. She doesn't know those sports like she's supposed to, because any owner that knew those sports like sports, you wouldn't be able to get over on them like that. And people get no.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Over on a big time, man. I've been saying this for a while now. She need to learn what she need to get. She need to learn what she need to learn, and she need to hire some people outside of the Saints culture that doesn't have any connections to the Saints, that know football on two different levels and basketball on two different levels, and they advise her. And those people have firepower, which means they have the ability to reorganize the team or get rid of people based on her suggestions. Now, that don't mean that they won't take suggestions from Mickey or these other guys or Griffin or all this type of stuff. They can still do that, but they'll be counseled. They'll counsel her, and then you have the advisors that'll also say, well, the problem, you know, and they'll work it out as opposed to it just be what they say. I don't like that. I don't like that because you can't get rid of the guy now. He acting like he owned the team. He don't want to give up the general manager position, even though he done towed the team up cap-wise for years. Well, unhealthy $150 million quarterback for a guy. We couldn't afford that guy. We shouldn't have done that. We should have done something else. We should have been doing something else. We can't afford some of these players. And now we got to kick the can and hamstring the team. And then we're making Loma sitting up there like he a general manager, living off the Super Bowl of 10, however long it was ago. It's time for him to go. It's time, man. I read, he says they're rooting, they're trotting Carr out there for all his injuries and not giving Winston another shot. Indeed, we know that. James said, I was trying to get the players all bought in on Dennis and Carr are players. They stay quiet and play the roles of rookies, and they're willing to give up great players for a Q. Peyton had the same mentality. He did, but the only thing about Peyton is Peyton had the resume. So people would give Peyton, they would back off Peyton. Well, I was still tough on him, but they would back off Peyton because he had a track record of success that you could just kind of be, that make you be a little bit more patient with him. You see, this guy didn't have any track record. He hadn't shown you anything. He hadn't done anything to say, well, he knows what he's doing. You can look at him in some of this stuff and you're just like, man, what is this guy? What are we doing? What are we doing and why are we doing it? And there is no adversarial thinking to these moves. Like, okay, we don't need to do this. You know, we need to do this. We need to do that. Or there's no disciplinarian in a Mickey Loomis, you know, because he's not a general manager. He's not. He's not a general manager, because general manager will evaluate during the season. A general manager will hold people accountable. A general manager will talk to people during the season. He would talk to players during the season. General managers talk to their players during the season. Mickey Loomis don't talk to nobody during the season. He don't talk to the players. And if you don't believe me, where was he at in the Jameis Winston debacle? Where was he at in the Marshawn Lattimore debacle? A good general manager would have ironed that shit out. A good general manager would have disciplined him for throwing his players under the bus and apologizing to the Falcons. A good general manager say, I'm not playing that. You're going to make that right or we're going to have some problems. That's what a good general manager going to do. You're not going to give up your top five NFL cornerback when healthy because he lost faith in the head coach. That's not a fireable offense. It's not a tradable offense. You know? And that should be a red herring to Mickey Loomis. That's how blind these people are. You a top five cornerback in the NFL is here, and he has a problem with the coach. He's requesting to be traded because he lost faith in the direction of the team and the head coach running the team. And you don't look at that and stop and say, that's interesting. Huh. You know what? I might have to do some evaluating for the first time during the season. Let me go and warm up my clam chowder. And then you get your ass to work. That's what you should have did. But now this guy don't even counter. He doesn't even offer a counterbalance to the foolishness. It just goes along with it. Crazy. All right, Pelicans Nola, what's up, fam? Says WB Day Man, that man knock you off the bike again. Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was funny. That was funny, Willie. that was funny, man. All right, that was funny as hell. 985 Live says, okay, knock you, my Mickey voice. You're making wild
You're making wild accusations. Wow,
it's just crazy, man. Tim says, Chiefs only got a second for Snead. He's young. All right. Yeah, Get Rich said, I lost faith in Lattimore. Yes. Well, Lattie had some injuries, but he bounced back on some stuff, man. And like I said, last year, it was a freak injury. The guy rolled up on him, like, you know, and that's when I seen it, I was like, oh, man, here we go. And then it kind of took him out for the rest of the year. But ain't no doubt about it. If you ask me and say, hey, Q, are they going to trade Lattimore? I tell you, they are going to trade Lattimore, and it's going to happen between June 1st and the start of the regular season. That's your window, because that's when it'll be advantageous for the Saints to do it, because they can't do it right now because it'll take the cap money away. It'll hit them up in a negative way cap wise. So they're not going to do it right now. So they're waiting between June 1st and the start of the year, when after the June 1st, that's when all those they get some of that cap relief that from a potential deal from Lattimore. And that's why Mickey Loomis says he's not actively looking to trade Lattimore, which means that he's not going out soliciting his services, going, hey, do you want Laddie, man? You want Laddie Daddy? You can have him. Give me a second round pick. He ain't doing that. He just laid back with the phone line saying, y'all call me and we'll see if we can get it cooking. So, you know, the contract is there. The replacement for him is there. Everything, the table is set, man. The table is set. And I wish they were this competent in terms of, you know, looking at Dennis Allen. Rich says the biggest problem was exactly what you said, that kept PC way too long. That thing proved PC was lost. He didn't change to play more action until all you guys started to point it out. And that's what is always the case, fam. A lot of times it's you. Like, we give, it's the family members. It's you guys, you know? It's you guys. It's what you say, what you see. Because a lot of times what you see, you say, and you force the beat writers, you force everybody to go and look at what you're saying. And then all you have to say is keep saying it over, saying what you're saying, and then eventually they'll see it. I do that all the time, man. When I was talking about Penning, I'm talking about Mickey Loomis, people are starting to understand, man. When I've been talking about Mickey Loomis saying he's not a real general manager, I've been laying it all out. I've been telling him, like, this is a real general manager's evaluate during the season. They do evaluations. They talk to the players. They iron out disgruntlement between players and the head coach. Where was Mickey Loomis at for a disgruntled situation that happened with Lattimore and others? Where was he? Where was he? His goddamn door closed, because he's more VP than anything. He don't need two jobs, is what I'm saying, man. But keep saying it over and over again. He doesn't need two jobs, because he's more VB than GM, and he needs to be a VP and get the hell out the way of football decisions, because he done told his team up, we need a different look on how we're going to handle the money moving forward. We got to do it different. We can't afford some of these players that they signed. That Derek Carr contract was monstrous. It was a negative thing for the Saints to do. And they did it because they was desperate and they didn't have a plan. And as a general manager, you can't sell everything with your current coach. You got to also know that, hey, man, I hired this dude, but it could be a possibility I might have to fire this effing dude if he don't do what he said. Now, listen, I'll give you a shot. But listen, by this amount of time, you don't have this going on, I'm going to have to get rid of you. That's how a general manager thinks. And he's not going to bottom out his team for the coach, and then the coach gets fired, and then the next guy come in, he don't have nothing to work with. You know, the idea is to try to keep as many good players as you can with good contracts and keep them happy with winning. People are upset with the Saints because they're not winning. That's the whole thing. You don't think I see that? I can see that. You know, unless no fractures, there's no cracks in it. We're fine. No, you're not. Then it comes out, why you trading Lattimore then? Oh, wait, we're looking for some cap relief. Nah, ain't no cap relief. None of that bullshit, man. All right, thank you, Rich. Appreciate you, bro. Pelicans know the 6Q. You know Mickey and DA never tell us the truth. That's a damn shame, though. But that's more the same about the Saints and the Pelicans. I can get with Willie on that, because I talk about this all the time. The Pelicans signed their head coach, Willie Green, their VP of basketball operations, David Griffin, and the general manager, Trajan Langdon, to contract extensions late last year and kept it secret until about 2 weeks ago. Now, today is May the 11th. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. Shout out to my mothers out there. So 2 weeks ago, put it right at what, May sometimes? Just right at the end of the regular season. Look at that. They kept it secret. They gave them extensions last year, then kept it secret. And the reason why you keep it secret is because you knew you was going to get some flack back for doing that, because nobody that's competent as a VP or a general manager would, who have questions about a coach, give him a contract extension during the year and just let him coach under pressure and then see where the team goes at the end of the year. And then if you see somebody out there you like, you can go in a different direction. Look what Phoenix did. Frank Vogel, he was the coach of Phoenix last year. He had the same record as the Pelicans coach. They fired him after a 49-win season and hired Coach Bud, which is how you put Coach Bud, a Budenholzer, who is a championship coach from the Milwaukee Bucks. He also coached from Atlanta. He comes from under the Greg Popovich tree. They just signed him to a $50 million a year contract. I think it's like 4 or 5 years to be the new coach. That's when you're serious about winning. When you go out there and say, damn, we got a championship coach that we know that can get stuff together, that's what you do. You don't sit there with an inexperienced guy who's too stubborn, who is not a strategist, and his game is crunch time game decision-making abilities is questionable at best, and it's 0-27 in games where they go into the fourth quarter without the lead. Just the statistics kick the piss out of your donut family. It kicked the piss out of you. It slaps you into reality. But this was kind of mess we stuck in. He says, hey, Q, loved our Pels cast last night. Yeah, thank you, brother. Appreciate you that, Kevin, man. Thank you for being a part of that, man. I appreciate y'all for chiming in, man. We went all the way to after 12 o'clock. I had a long day. I probably would have did a little bit longer, bro. But 3.5 hours is pretty good, I think. Thank you for being there, bro. All right, Red T, so I'm convinced that even if we go 5-12, Dennis will still be. I don't think so, bro. It won't fly. He can't save him. That 9-plus year definitely turns Dennis Allen. This is still the NFL. Even though we kind of in the vacuum with the Saints, Dennis Allen knows he has to win. He has to get this team into the playoffs to save his job. Another 9-8 season or 9-plus year won't count. Sorry about that. But, my dog says discount. Phillip says, thank you, Phillip. Shout out to you, bro. I just subscribed to you, my man. The reason was because you tell it like it is. Couldn't have said it or heard it no better from anywhere. We have for life. Thank you, Phillip. Appreciate you, bro. Thank you, man. That's a compliment, bro. Thank you very much. All right, fam. Sorry about that. But yeah, we tried, bro. And I'm a diehard too, bro. And like I said, I've been doing this for a while. And a lot of people, man, it get to a point where it really gets on my nerves, because I understand the matrix, how things are set up. Like if you're a reporter or if you have access to the Saints, it's done purposefully like that, because if you are connected to them financially, then you won't criticize. That's old school guys used to criticize them, like the Times-Picayune, which is one of the paper. They had guys like Buddy Deliberto. We talked about this, Pete Feeney and others, you know, that would tell it like it is. They would tell the truth. Like Buddy D got kicked off the plane with the Saints because he was telling them, you know, they don't like the truth. They just want you to spin something that looks good for them. And a lot of these people, they won't go too deep into none of that because they understand the Saints get pissed off with them. They pull their press badge and they eating off of that. That's why it's like you can't give people that power like that over you. But if you play the game, that's how they play the game. I just want y'all to know that's how it go. You get me? That's why I talk like this. I want y'all to remember that, man. There's levels to this stuff. We all looking at it at the same way, but the critique level is different. And it's different for a reason. It's different from a reason. This is real talk I'm telling y'all, man. we all look at it differently, but we look at it differently because what ties do you have to it where it controls your vantage or what you are going to say about it? You get what I'm saying? You catch that? So yeah, man, that's how I got to be. The Saints don't pay shit over here. You know, I got several online businesses and I do, you know, they don't nothing. So I talk how I want to talk. I tell the truth. You know, I don't get on these people just because I get on them because if you fixing it and I see you fixing it, fix it without the BS. Don't come with the BS, the lies, the knowledge, the nonsense, because we're going to call you out.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.